Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Next Sunday will be the brand new first Sunday of 2022. Can you imagine? It's coming. 2022. And I hope that you'll be with us, and we're praying for wholeness and wellness throughout the congregation as we begin the new year. Amen? As you know, each year, over the last 13, the Lord has put on my heart an action theme for the year. 2022 is healing and redemption. I feel like that's where the Lord would have us to press in, for healing and redemption. So we'll be talking a little bit more about that next Sunday. I'd also like to remind all of those who are members, on the last Sunday, the 30th, we will be having our business meeting. We are kind of mandated by our constitution and bylaws to let you know that those are coming. But we will be having that on that afternoon. We'll be talking to you more about it as we get on into the new year. But put it on your calendars. Love to have you, if you're a member, to be a part of that meeting. Amen? Are you ready to give to the Lord? Amen. That was kind of weak. Some of the offerings this month kind of looked that way, you know. It's like, you know. Praise the Lord. God bless you as you give.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name.
Bless you all. Thank you for your ministry this morning. Well, glory. After last Sunday, if the message being acted out, I was kind of looking for somebody. Larry's not here, and Yahoo's not here. Going to have somebody act it out. Cindy, would you mind just acting out my message this morning? Oh, any other day. Okay, we'll look forward to next week. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen? We are about to finish out this year. This morning, I want to close out this whole month. We've been talking about the majesty, if you will, of the King. And I'm going to close that out this morning and talk to you about the entrances of the King. I want to start with some nonsense. I'm sure you'll all want to jot these things down, but I'll give them to you and you can decide. Did you know that the members of the royal family of England could not eat garlic? They're not allowed to eat garlic. Here's a few other rules of the royal family. I know you're all entrenched with the royal family of England, so that's the reason why I brought this to you. But Prince Philip was required to walk behind the Queen. Royals must accept all gifts graciously. They can't propose to anyone without permission. There is a secret dress code. They always travel with a black ensemble. Two heirs cannot fly together in the same plane. No politics are allowed. They can't vote or express their opinions about anything political. PDA, that's public displays of affection, are frowned upon. The queen is not allowed to sit on a foreign throne. When the queen stands, everyone stands. So if she happens to come in here this morning, you want to get to your feet. Oh, tiaras are only worn by married women. Sorry, Jim. No tiaras. Curtsies are encouraged. They rarely eat shellfish. The queen signals when a conversation is over. I like that one. I thought that was pretty cool. Whenever she's done listening to it, I guess she just signals and the conversation is over. When the queen finishes eating, then so do you. So eat fast if you're in the queen's presence. She doesn't eat much. Royal wedding bouquets contain myrtle. Six ravens must live in the Tower of London all the time. I searched and I couldn't find why, but that's the truth. Royals are not allowed to play Monopoly because they fight. I did find that one. Because they get too involved with it and they start fighting with one another. So she just made it a rule. That's cool. Oh, and never touch the queen's purse. That's kind of like home. Oh, and this one's another good one. They can't speak without permission. They cannot speak without permission. There's even protocol for entering the room. They have an order when they're moving forward. And I'm sure you've all read this already. It was in some magazine. I had it right up until I got ready to tell you, and then I can't remember. Queen Elizabeth always entered the room first. Then her husband walked in behind her. Then it was the Prince of Wales, that's Charles, and then the Duchess of Cornwall followed in behind him. And then the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, Prince William and Kate Middleton, and then so on. And whenever they walked into a room, and the reason that that was pointed out, because on the 50th anniversary of Charles becoming, whatever he is, the Prince of Wales, he walked into the room in front of his mother, and it made a to-do. Thank you, Timmy. Hello? Yeah. Helps to turn it on. I thought I did, but I guess I turned it off instead. Now I got to go through that whole thing again. No. Today, in our study of our King, I want you to see his entrances, because it's very specific in understanding him and his journey. The first one we've been rehearsing throughout this whole month, and that is Bethlehem's manger. We're familiar with that? How many are familiar with that? Okay. It was the reason for the wise men. It was the angels announcing Prince of Peace. And yet he came in great obscurity. Very few realized. Some shepherds, a few wise men from the east. But for the most part, his was a quiet entrance into this world to redeem us. Praise the Lord. His second entrance was a king's entrance into Jerusalem. Listen to this. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He said, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Because this was an entrance of the king. They really didn't understand. Actually, this whole entrance was marked with misunderstanding. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." It was predicted. It was prophesied. And Jesus fulfilled that prophecy, and yet they missed it. So here's two entrances of the King of all the ages that really mankind missed. Kind of amazing, isn't it? That the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, would come and visit what he created, and yet he was missed. They were praising him, and that scripture in Luke chapter 19 says a phrase in there that I think is very significant. He says, "For all the miracles they had seen." They were praising him for all the miracles they had seen. Not for who he was. Not for even what he would do in their lives, but for all the miracles they had seen. We fall into that, you see. It's not really what the Lord has done for us in bringing redemption to us. In a great sense, it is, what is he going to do next for me? What's the next blessing? What's the next thing that I ask? And so often people turn away from him because he does not perform. And what's interesting is, again, and I brought this to you in the very first message, we have the wrong concept here. If Christ is king, then all who are his subjects work to please him. Not the king working to please the subjects. Isn't that true? I mean, the Queen of England does not sit down and say, "Gee, I wonder what all the people of England want me to do, because that's what I'm going to do. If they want me to walk down the street and shake all of their hands, then I'm going to walk down the street and shake all their hands. If they want me to forgive their taxes, I'm going to go and forgive them, because what they want is the most important." It doesn't exist. They have a realm, and their family and those who will follow in behind her, even though it's not a true monarchy anymore. So I guess, you know, what I'm saying is the Queen of England is more a figurehead today than ever before in all of their history. And yet still, she does not serve at the whim of the people. And see, we recognize that, but we call Jesus King, the Christ King. And we say he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And yet we are doing this so often. This is what I need. And you need to respond. Now, out of love, out of mercy, out of grace, he does so much for us. But what is grace? Unmerited favor. Right? That is, that everything that he does for us, he does out of his heart, out of his desire. He came into Bethlehem's manger out of his heart, his desire. He entered Jerusalem knowing what was going to take place. It really wasn't a celebration of his kingship. It was the entrance of the king coming to lay down his life for all of mankind. Now, there's an amazing thing. He is the King. Well, I want to take you to some events that have not yet happened, some entrances of the King that have not yet occurred. Because, see, we are still living in the Bible. I see a few head nods. Wake up on that one. I said, we are still living in the Bible. It's not a finished book. He tells us of two more entrances, and those are the ones I want to give emphasis to this morning. The first one is found in Revelation chapter 11, and if you would turn in your Bibles there. Revelation chapter 11. Beginning at verse number 15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who were seated on the thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your people who revere your name, both great and small, and for destroying those who destroy the earth." Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the ark of his covenant. And there came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder and an earthquake and a severe hailstorm. Father in heaven, help us this morning, because we're breaching time to look into the prophecy that you gave through John to us of your entrance, of your standing up in heaven to take full and complete control over this earth. Help us, O Lord, to see it. Help us to see it with our mind of imagination, but with our hearts of love for you. May we be captivated this morning that the King is coming. Thank you, Lord. If you study the book of Revelation, you'll see that Jesus is seen. First, as someone like the Son of Man, Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. He is seen as the Eternal One. "I am the first and the last." He's seen as the Resurrected One. "I am the Living One. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever." He's seen as the one holding the keys. "And I hold the keys of death and Hades." He is seen as the one holding the seven stars and walking in the midst of the candlesticks. The stars are the messengers. The candlesticks are the churches. Next, he's seen as the Lamb in Revelation chapter 5. He is announced as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, who has triumphed. He is able to open the seven sealed scroll of end things. He's seen by John then as, "I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." So John sees him in these different revelatory pictures of who Christ is, there on the throne, there with the Father, as Scripture says, seated sometimes, standing sometimes in the presence of the throne. Something happens in chapter 11 of the book of Revelation, because a different scene is viewed. Now, the suffering lamb takes on a completely different image. He is no longer the wounded lamb, no longer suffering and struggling, no longer innocent. But here in the 11th chapter, he's the king. He's announced as the king. I wonder what that's going to be like. You see, I can't go into all of this this morning, but I just want you to capture this picture, because he says that the prince of darkness, the enemy, that great dragon, is cast out of heaven at this time. When he stands up, makes his entrance as the king of all kings and lord of all lords, first thing that happens is, Satan, get out of here. There's no place for you. No longer does he have audience to accuse, like he did with Job and with so many others, like all of us. No longer does he have access to the throne of God. He's cast out. Why? Because Jesus, King of Kings, stands up and takes control of all that God has made. What a day. And the elders about the throne, see their response? They fall on their faces. When the king is recognized, they fall on their faces. You know, just like I said, when the queen enters a room, everybody stands up. When the king of all the ages stands up to rule, everybody falls on their faces. He is worthy. He is worthy. You see, if you go back there to chapter 5, just seeing him as the lamb who was slain causes an eruption in heaven where they begin to cry out and thank him for what he has done in bringing redemption to all the world. All of those righteous souls that have ascended into the presence of the Lord will begin to cry out and give praise and honor to the one who allowed them access to heaven. But this is a different day. This is a day where he stands up, not as a suffering lamb, but as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all heaven bows down because authority is given him from the throne to rule and to reign. Now that's an entrance. I wrote down something, and it's difficult to read because all of us have loved ones and friends that do not know the Lord and are so pleased with themselves that they are not accepting him as king. They think that they're wise in the process. But listen to what is coming. When the seventh seal is opened, that is that seal of that scroll that the Lamb was the only one found worthy to open. With the opening of the seventh seal, silence came over heaven for a half an hour. Silence. In all the throngs of souls and angels and everyone who was praising and lifting up glory to the Lord, silence will come. The first trumpet will sound. It says there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. The second trumpet sounds, something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. The third trumpet sounds, a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. A fourth trumpet sounds, and a third of the sun is struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that one third of them turned dark. The fifth trumpet sounds, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss, and the abyss was open. The sixth trumpet sounds, and the release of four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates to go and bring judgment over the earth. And then the seventh trumpet sounds. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. The kingdoms of the world are given over to the king, and his reign of the world will begin. Those around the throne will recognize him. Why? Because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. That's what it says. Can you just a allow your imagination to run for just a moment here and imagine that scene up in heaven. Now, everybody knows who he is. They know him in heaven as the Son of God. They know him as the third person of the Trinity. They know him as the one who was slain from the foundations of the world to bring redemption to mankind. All the saints that have preceded us and have gone into glory, they've already cried out in their praises before him for the redemptive power that he has brought. But on that day, something's going to change. Can you see it? Can you see it in your mind? I don't know if you've got that kind of imagination, but you can see something. There's a stirring all of a sudden in heaven, and there's a stirring around the throne as the King, the Mighty One of God, stands up, and everybody falls down. Can you picture that? And in that prostrate state, they lay there and cry out of his worthiness. And then he begins to dispatch Satan out of here. First place he's going to cleanse is heaven. Huh? Judgment has begun. And as Satan, of course, is cast to the earth and fills the false prophet and the beast and all of that stuff begins to transpire, but heaven shaking and earth begins to shake because the power of the King of all the ages is released. Oh. You know, I didn't read you all of that on those six trumpets that were sounded, because each one of them, as they are sounded, there was a reaction on the part of men. A fourth part die, a third part die. But also it comes down to, but it says, but with everything is happening, they refuse to repent. Rather, they shout curses toward God. And the King steps up. And he says, we're bringing it to an end. We're bringing it to an end. The final judgments begin to pour out from the throne. Wow. I just want you to see this morning, before we scoot to the last one, that entrance that he makes in heaven will be so much different than those that he made here on earth. He came in Bethlehem's manger, so quietly. He came as the Son of Man. He came down Jerusalem's hill, Mount of Olives, to shouts of praise, to fulfill prophecy, to a people that really did not recognize him. But in just a short time, when he stands up in heaven, all of heaven will say yes. Yeah. It's time. Wish I could read all of it to you, because it says the censers with the prayers of the saints that are rising up. Those who are saying, how long, O Lord, will you wait? How long before you're going to judge the earth? How long before you come back and bring redemption to this world? And my Bible says that all creation is groaning and listening, waiting for that day. So creation is somehow calling out to the throne of God, calling out for the redemption of the world. I don't understand it. When the Bible says the trees of the field clap their hands, when it says that his creation is groaning and listing, waiting for the redemption of mankind, and yet God sees his creation, he hears his creation, and he's recognizing it. And can you imagine, as the King of all the ages stands up there in heaven and takes the reins, he says, enough of all this. Done with COVID. I'm done with cancer. I know in my own life, I'm tired of people that I love dying. Looking forward to when the King comes, takes authority and says, no more death. No more sickness. I don't know, some of you don't care. You better learn to praise Him down here because heaven's going to be all about it. You hear people say, oh, I don't want to, you know, I can't look forward to heaven, but instead around playing a harp and doing, no. But you are going to be praising the Lord. And I got a feeling it won't be this. No, when a king comes in, everybody moves. And I got a feeling if you make it, you're going to be so glad you did. They won't have to ask you. There won't be certain angels standing up there. Okay, now everybody, King's getting ready to come in. So now I would like for all of you to stand to your feet. Mm-mm. The only ones that are going to be there are the ones that recognize that He is the King. Fourth entrance. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. Beginning at verse number 11. I saw heaven standing open. There before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like a blazing fire. Oh, can I help you just in your imagination here as you're fixing this in your mind? Compare this to the babe of Bethlehem. To his first entrance into this world, his last entrance into this world is going to be a bit different. His eyes are like blazing fire. On his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. Wow. King Jesus came to Bethlehem's manger church, but he wasn't recognized. He came down the Mount of Olives hill, and the people were deceived, and they missed it. But can I tell you, when he comes back to this world again, his entrance will not be missed. My Bible says that every eye will see him. Paul says this way, he said, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, we don't really know beyond our imagination what this will really be like. It's interesting, isn't it? We write songs, we have plays, we have remembrances of his first entrance into obscurity. We will even celebrate the week before Easter his entrance into Jerusalem, where he really wasn't recognized. It's just another happening. And yet, the greatest of all entrances. We've not really positioned ourselves to really think about. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet them in the air. Is it any wonder that he said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words? You see, those that don't know him are not going to recognize the worth of that day, because it's something they don't want to think about. They'll think about him as a babe in a manger. They'll even think about him coming in as a king down into Jerusalem many, many years ago. But the reality is, the one that we need to fix our minds upon is the King is coming. The King. I want to be numbered among those who know him in advance as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who are serving him without reservation. When his presence comes into a room, he's coming, he comes in as spirit. And when his presence comes into a room, I want to be among. I want to be among those that recognize that the King has come in, and I want to fall down. Huh. See, he actually said, if two or three of you will gather in my name, I'll be there in the midst of you. The King. The King. He wants to come. He's ready to be the King of your life, to take full responsibility for the life that is yielded to him. He will not force us. He will not compel us. He simply has made himself available to us, that if we will recognize him, bow in his presence, he'll take responsibility for us. So whatever comes to us in this world, we're not alone. He said, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'll be with you always. What a promise. I don't know what 2022 will hold. The last couple of years have been real tough. But here I know, if we'll allow him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will lead us right through it. Yes. Is he your King this morning? What a grand way to end 2021 by really proclaiming him as King. Again, it means bowing. When the King comes in, everyone bows. When the King stands up, everyone bows. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that in our feeble way, that we can pull from your word truth. Truth not only of what has taken place in the past, but what is coming in the future. Father, It's amazing that we as your creation would rise up and think that we are smarter than your word. We're so smart that we can become indifferent to who you are. We can rule our own lives. When you are ready to take responsibility for our lives, if we will surrender to you. I pray this morning, if there is a single person in this room who has not surrendered to your authority, to your sacrifice, that this very day, that their will would be broken, and that faith would rise up, and they would recognize you as Savior and as the King of their lives. I thank you, God, for the opportunity that you give us, that in this day of salvation, that we can turn our hearts and lives to you with a promise of the next tomorrow. That if you come back to this earth, if you come back and step out of heaven and call your children home in 2022, that we would be ready and excited, and that we would be proclaiming, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come," knowing that whatever you have prepared for us is going to be incredible, because you are an incredible God. I pray for the hope that only you can give us would fill our hearts and minds as we transition to this new year. May we be a people of hope. The hope of salvation, the hope of healing, the hope of your soon return. May we be a people of hope. I thank you for Christmas. I thank you for the recognition that we have, even in our world today, that is so ungodly, but yet there is still this song that is being sung of your first entrance. Help us, O Lord, as your children, to not forget your coming again. May it be in our hearts, may it be in our lips, telling others, "Jesus is coming. My Jesus is coming." And Lord, may it make a difference in our lives and in our families, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stand with me, please. Thank you for your patience this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't God good? Thank you for coming to church today. I know there's still lots of holiday things going on, but thank you for coming and being with us. Father in heaven, may your blessings rest upon this church family as we leave this house. Guide us about this week. Remind us often that our King is coming. In Jesus' name. These altars are open. If you would like someone to pray with you, we would love to pray with you. May God bless you. And oh, by the way, next Sunday, come in the entrance down there. We're going to go back to the sanctuary starting January 1st. Bless you all. Be safe.